seeing.
Okay, mobile.
Great, Shane.
Long to make that delivery. I'm headed out to Easley now from the Piedmont area.
Short trailer or one of those long boys?
3-footer. And it's loaded from front to back, but it's not loaded floor to ceiling. So there's that.
We usually use is 53. We did a lot of our selling machine. We try to get 53s when we get them. A lot of times we just have to load. Containers are totally different. They had to remember that containers were too narrow, not narrower than a regular trailer, so they had to accommodate for that. We used to open top, high cubes, everything. We sold most of the equipment out of that White Horse plant. Used to be built, and I think I did about 150 containers out there in all the period of a few months.
Containers. No, I like to have the 53. They used to put it in a shorty, but it just, they can't load it. They have to keep the stop separated. And if the shorty, there wasn't enough room to walk around them. And plus, I use this trailer. As soon as I get done delivering, I take it to a business that fills it back up. They usually ship out at least one trailer pool every day, so it works out pretty good.
Always out there a good bit, but I don't know how efficient. They're not very efficient. I know some people just have to have those, I guess. We did 20-foot containers and 40-foot, and yeah, the little ones are just hard. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, they're about as expensive as the big ones. Once you load on the ship, it costs about the same. Of course, they're so much more expensive now than they were to ship, you know, when I was working 10 years ago. It's just a big deal.
Left, they used to get some of their supplies in containers from overseas, but the cost of shipping has gone up so much that they found a local, somebody local to replace whatever that was they were having shipped in. They have it done locally now.
Used to ship them, you know, everywhere, but I used to do container inspections. A lot of times they'd have so many. We had our own crew that laid with, our own rigging crew. We could take everything out, but a lot of times they want me to, you know, put a seal on and do the final inspection. I'd go all over the southeast just to do that. Sometimes they'd have, you know, some of the guys at Baltimore would have their own crew, you know, buy their own, have their own crews, or you'd have somebody locally do it for them. But they generally want, you know, because I've been doing it for a long time, they generally want somebody, you know, do what they're looking at when they're inspecting containers now that stuff is loaded. Sometimes I just drive somewhere and work for a couple of hours one day and a couple of hours the next day and, you know, make money on it and head back home.
So those containers, or do they have everything palletized?
And the stuff we had was fairly large stuff. We didn't have anything that actually went pallet. Sometimes we put stuff on pallet. Most of the time it was, we had them on 8x8 skids and flag bolted them down. And, you know, there's an art to putting that stuff in. We had one guy that was loads of stuff, and he didn't realize to leave them. You know, we'd nail them down sometimes. We'd lag bolt them to the skids, but they didn't realize that you shock, and when you shock them, you leave the nails up a little bit so you can get, they drive them all the way through. People be cussing them because they had, you know, such a hard time pulling the nails out. It didn't take much to chop one down. Once you get it right, know what you're doing, keep from jumping the chop. But there was one guy, he just didn't know anybody. He'd hammer that thing down, just nail it, you know, completely flush. It's fine when you load it, when you unload it, boy, those guys don't like that.
They've got to be able to get it out without too much trouble, but goodness. Well, yeah, we use short trailers mostly at night because you got two 28-foot trailers. That's 56 feet of cargo space versus 53. And when you pull those doubles, you actually can carry more.
Doubles make sense, especially if you're dropping off different locations. I know you've seen those truck trains they use in Australia. Those things are pretty cool. I've never seen anything to one of my buddies down there. Sent me, this has been a number of years ago, and he sent me a sent me a couple of pictures of them. I said, I didn't know what that was. He said, this is what it is. It looked like, I mean, that thing was amazing. Well, tremendous length. I don't remember exactly how long it was, but, you know, Australia's so just, there's nothing out there. He said, you drive from one end of the country to the other. He said, they just use these things. He said, it's normal for them to do it. Although I think rail would probably be cheaper, but they use them a lot down there.
California and some of those states, you know, out in the deserts and stuff, we pull triples. Now they can't go into town with them. They have to pull off on the side of an interstate exit and drop the rear trailer. Somebody else picks them up, but they can pull triples. And then on some of the, some of the turnpikes, like there's one in Florida, and I'm sure they do this out west too. They use 45-foot doubles, which we are not allowed to do that around here. So that can get pretty long.
Our nephew drives, he's mostly on the West Coast now, I think, but, you know, he does long-haul stuff, and he's enjoyed it. It's good for him. He's been doing it for a while now. He had a hard time getting started out, but once he got started out and started working for our company, he did a lot better. He had to worry about the fuel costs and that sort of thing either, I don't guess. But, He had one accident where somebody just, I think they ran a stop sign or something and hit him and tore his tractor up. And he had a nice one. I forget what kind it was. I don't remember if it was a Freightliner or not. It was a big, big sleeper cab. I have no idea. I mean, those things were really expensive years ago. Who knows what they are now, but, he enjoys it. It's good, good lifestyle. He's single. It's a good lifestyle for him.
Would like to do that. That's a lot of driving, and the regulations now, they limit you to when you stop for your, after you've completed your day, you have to take 10 hours off. You have to sit for 10 hours no matter where you are. It used to be you could, if you got sleepy, you could pull over, you know, sleep for a couple hours, but you had a certain number of hours you could drive in a 24-hour period. But now they force them to drive that same number of hours in under 12 hours or under 11 hours. So they're confined to driving even when they're sleepy. They can't stop and rest. It actually makes it worse for them, but that's what bureaucrats do, you know? And for is that okay?
Then doing things you don't realize the consequences till after it's already, you know, regulation or the law. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've dealt with any drivers. And personally, so I know one of the guys I worked with at Milliken, we'd have 4 or 5 days off when we were on a swing shift. And he'd drive a truck. He and another guy would drive trucks while they were too long hauls, not real long hauls, but they'd be gone for 2 or 3 days at a time, come back and did that on their off weeks. And that made a lot of money doing that. That's been 40 years ago or more. It's a lot. Yeah, things are a lot different then than they are now, I'm sure.
Too, you get to the end of your driving hours that you're only regulated for the day, or you're regulated for the day, and there's nowhere to pull over except the side of the interstate, and you have to shut down for 10 hours. Now, who sleeps for 10 hours? Generally, you know, most people don't even sleep 8 hours. And then you just got to sit there and try to stretch your legs. That's worse on you than, you know, being able to take more breaks and drive at alternate times, you know. It's just ridiculous.
Ship rules, it just didn't make a lot of sense to do that. And when we were headed to Florida, we saw them lined up all, they just didn't have enough spaces for the, we were on, I can't remember which interstate was on, one down in Florida. We weren't on a pay turnpike or anything like that, but they just had them lined up. I mean, they were lined up for miles sometimes, because the spaces were full. And that's got to be taxing on people. I mean, you hope somebody didn't run into you on the side of the road either. On top of that, and a lot of them just have places to park with no facilities at all. So it's just a parking area is about all it amounts to.
there's a lot of counties, a lot of states that restrict access. You know, there's no parking on the side of the interstates or on the exit and entrance ramps, and they'll ticket them. But, you know, the guys say, it's a federal law, I can't move, but the county or the state saying, no, you have to move. So there's all kinds of things like that. Okay.
I had to break out there. I mean, I was looking, some wife had something she had to tell me about, something she received on an email, but no big deal. But yeah, they had those big signs blocking in Jacksonville. I don't know which county that is. But when we started heading to Jacksonville, they had these signs where they just had the no parking, no truck parking. I mean, just for miles like that. And then in Georgia, it wasn't like that. When you got into Florida, they were really, really strict. There were still guys parking there, I think, but they had them blocked where they couldn't. Where they couldn't park, and when they got into the like the normal regular rest areas, they just did. I don't remember, some of those didn't have any truck parking at all. I may be wrong about that, but it seemed kind of odd to me. But it's just the volume of traffic, I guess, they have traveling up and down those that particular section of, I guess it must be 95 maybe.
Makes it difficult, and that's one reason why I'm glad I don't have to do that. I get to go home every night. Take my 10 hours off at night, or, well, in the day, whichever shift I'm working. I get to do it at home. I get to spend my off time at home and don't have to even worry about that.
Big difference. I know they used to, you know, a lot of guys, they'd put, you know, before they had this automated logging, you know, the logs would be all messed up anyway. They drive 40 hours straight sometimes and just, you know, you know, put down the log where they had that sort of thing. They can't, you know, now they, you know, this is all electronic, I guess. They can check them at any time. So maybe makes a difference. But there was some, you know, some guys made a lot of money back in the earlier days doing that. But gosh, I can't remember which dealership. Might have been a Peterbilt dealership tried to get me to start selling for them once and years ago. And I said, I don't know anything about trucks. He said, you don't know, I have to know. He said, we'll teach you. I thought, man, I said, I can't drive a car that great. I'm not going to be able to back a rig up.
Electronic logs, I understand that there were people that, you know, I heard stories of people carrying two log books, one that they showed their employer, or one that one that they showed the police or the DOT if they got pulled over. And I know they're trying to fix that issue of people driving too long, but those electronic logs could still record. I mean, when your truck moves, it pairs up with the logger, and it could record. You can still allow people to drive, and then if they got sleepy to pull over and rest, it's gonna know that, because it's gonna show you weren't moving. And if you're not where you're making your delivery, you know, it should record it like that. They could still allow them to take breaks when they needed it and not just force them to take a 30-minute, you know, an 11-hour, you know, drive time and then make them sit for 10 hours where they get even sleepier. So there's ways around it. I mean, there's ways it can be done legally and safely. This just makes it worse. Anyway, that's just my opinion, but it's an opinion of a lot of them out there. And for ZLK.
And you know, that makes, to me, that makes it simpler to find out what people are doing. So, and the other law makes sense. It, you know, might have made sense back in back years ago, but now when they track everything you do, whoever you work for, the DOT or whoever else, you know, knows where you are all the time. It didn't make a lot of sense at all. Well, I got to jump out of here. I got to go do. We got to run a few errands, and it's good talking to you. And hope you have a safe day today. And probably catch you a little bit later on this afternoon, Shane. Talk to you later. N4ZLK, N4DJC.
Good to hear you this morning. You have a good day. N4DJC, N4ZLK.